The Pat Kenny Show
with MasterCard. Share an extraordinary experiences all over the world with priceless cities at priceless.com.
This is News Talk.
Well, it's got sheep, it's got jelly babies, it's got tractors and Santa Claus. I am talking about Ryan Tubridy's second foray into children's literature. The book is called The First Christmas Jumper and the Sheep Who Changed Everything. And Ryan Tubridy is with me in the studio. Ryan, good morning.
It's nice to see you again.
This deep stuff.
I was going to say, to talk about such serious and lofty matters as a sheep who dares to be different.
Yeah, I mean, often people who write these things are writing for their own children, but yours are beyond that now.
Did you ever crack a really bad joke as a father?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Welcome to my world. And this book is about that. I don't think it matters what age your child is. You'll always be a dad with bad jokes.
Yeah.
And the book has an element of that. But you're quite right. Actually, it's rooted in the idea that when I was reading books to the girls when they were little, I found the books got a little bit unicorny and a bit dull. And the ones I really liked were like the Gruffalo, which were short, because people forget. And I think writers for kids forget sometimes that parents are wrecked. And the reading the story is lovely and all. But if it's short and a little bit funny, even better. So that's where I was going with this.
Now, you have embellished this tale with puns. It's the lowest form of wit.
It's the lowest form of wit, which is why I was perfect for the job. And it's a sheep. Who's got this multicoloured fleece in a field of, or everyone else has got the same
fleece.
So
it's not the black sheep.
It's the multicoloured sheep.
Joseph. It should be Joseph.
It could be, but she's Hillary, because much like another famous Hillary, she chose to be different and dared to be different. And she is sitting there, and Santa's up in the sleigh, and he's cold, and he wants a new jumper because he wants to warm up. So he comes down to this field, and he sees this gorgeous sheep, and the story takes off from there. And along the way, the sheep actually dreams of Christmas and makes lots of lists. So her favourite Christmas song is obviously Fleece Navidad, but she's also a fan of A Little Town of Bethlehem, and Joy to the Wool is another favourite.
Now, what kind of car would Margaret love to drive?
Will you tell us now?
A Lamborghini.
A Lamborghini. She's also a fan of the movie Die Hard. And, you know, these are the sorts of things that, you know, I mean, it's atrocious, Pat, but you have to. She eats pro-Nitroles. Santa got her quite irrelevant in the last week, a CD from the Irish band U2, because these are so it's constant. And she's a big fan of literature too. I mean, why wouldn't she read Ulysses? It's all there. It's a shocker.
E-W-E.
Correct,
Ulysses.
Correct. Yeah, so they're all there, and it's cute. But it's also, there's the idea that here's a sheep with a rainbow fleece who's alone but not lonely, who's quite comfortable daydreaming about Christmas and everything, as all the other sheep are, you know, looking the same, like the Kardashianization of the ovine world.
So this is Dare to Dream.
Dare to dream. Dare to be. Embrace your difference. Like the toy show this year, I keep saying to people, like to people getting involved for kids, you know, we're looking for the kids this year who mightn't have got picked for the team, who mightn't be involved in Snapchat conversations at home after school. A little bit different. The rainbow fleece.
But weren't you on the toy show yourself as a child?
Do you know what? I wasn't. It's a strange thing that people
thought
I was.
This is a rumour going around.
Yeah, yeah. No, but what I was, I can see why people might think that, because I remain precocious. But the idea was, at the time, I was on Anything Goes, which you probably remember.
Mary Fitzgerald.
Right, and Angus McInally. And I reviewed two movies when I was about 12 or 13. And I remember them well. It was The Adventures of Young Sherlock Holmes and The Journey of Natty Gann, neither of which were ever seen again. And because I had started.
But you want people who are not like you then?
Yeah, pretty much, because I think it's their turn. No, but I think the difference is that I was never picked for the team. I mean, look, as I always say, if I visit a school, I retired from sport at the age of 9. Voluntarily, because the best position I could be on the pitch was as one of the posts. I wasn't up to much, you know. I had no prowess, and I would also definitely have been the guy who watched the girls wander off with the
and yet
the,
you
the,
take
the
it upon yourself,
yes,
to do a Des Cal in the opening number.
That's an act of great risk mixed with desperation and fear. And you know, even before we were coming on air, I was telling you that I've got like next week. It's choreography. It's endeavouring to sing a little bit. And when I say sing, I mean obviously talk, sing, you know. And you said, do you want to tell them what you said? You said,
why not get Des Cal?
You also said that I was the
architect. Oh, you brought it on yourself.
I brought it on myself. The architect of my own misfortune. And there's truth in that. But I just thought, look, if we're going to do it, mix it up, go for it and embrace it fully.
Now, you probably would have to shoot me if you told me what the theme is and the set is and the opening number is.
I'd maim you, but I wouldn't shoot because I just need to not be able to talk. So the Third Secret of Fatima and the Toy Show theme have become, as you well know, this idea that, look, there are so few secrets left in the world. So let's keep this one nice and quiet. And this is my 10th one. Can you believe that? And
I did 10.
You did 10.
That was enough. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I might be far behind you. But the idea was is that obviously for the 10th, we'll go big. And yeah, we're taking it somewhere different this year. So it's going to be pretty spectacular. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it is a huge amount of hard work. And the extraordinary thing, when I was doing the toy show, the number of people say, my kids would love to be in the audience. Yeah. For the toy show. And we say, hang on a second. Did you ever look closely at the audience?
Did you do?
No kids.
At the risk of being the old toy show presenter club, do you remember when kids would come up to you reluctantly and say, can I have tickets for the show? And you knew that they were scared. And you'd say, oh, well, I can't do that to you. And then you'd look behind them and there was a parent. And then you look at the kids back and there's two handprints. And you realise the parent shoved them up to say, because that's terrible. So really, the toy show tickets, it's a lottery.
I mean, the kids are the performers.
They're
not in the audience. Right. Because it's hard enough to marshal, I don't know, a couple of hundred kids in the toy show to keep them fresh and alert and interested and awake because it's a long couple of days of rehearsal and transmission. Yeah. If you had an audience full of kids, they possibly might fall asleep.
Yeah, or get so wired. There was about 500 kids involved last year.
500?
Yeah, because the performances have got so big. And then the audience is 200 kids. But we have what's called the Valentine show now. So that's the equivalent of having 200 children in the audience, albeit souped up and hormoned out of their ears. So that's a different type of show. But yeah, it's kids aren't in the audience. They are the stars of the show, very much showing us how the toys work and singing a song, as you know.
Okay, now you have two books now under your belt for children.
Yes.
You have other work.
Two of the others.
Literary merit. What next? Because, I mean, you seem to have taken to the literary sphere.
With mixed results. I would say that this is the most fun I've had with the book and because it embraces, as you have rightly pointed out, the awful humour that is my stock in trade off air. And I like that. And actually, it kind of came from the fact that we did the toy show last year and it was The Little Mermaid. And at the beginning of the show, I did all these puns about the sea, about, you know, being nautical but nice and all this. And it went on and on, the puns. And I could see the audience liked it. But actually, kids would come up to me in the following 2 or 3 months shouting sea puns. And when you're 6, 7, 8, 9 and you start getting a pun, it's nearly your first foray into adult humour. Because you can say, I get that. You adults are all looking at each other thinking you're clever and we'd never get it. But I do. And that's what kind of got me all punned out of it.
I saw one there that you use, but a better version of it, actually.
Well, Pat, this does not surprise me for a moment. So tell me what it is.
Where do sheep wash?
In
the bathtubs.
That's better than mine, okay. Well, look, let's co-write the next one.
You know, no thanks. No thanks. Anyway, the late, still...
It's still on.
Entertains you.
I mean, it does. Yeah,
it's a juggernaut of a thing. And, you know, times have changed. There was a time when, you know, big movie stars would come regularly to Dublin. That began to fade off in my time. But if you go back to Gay's 37 years, the best of Hollywood would make their way to Dublin and make a grand entrance on the Late Late Show.
Well, everything's changed. There are 5 million channels around you on a Friday night, as you know. And the reality is that those people don't need to come to Dublin to do the show. Because
they normally hole up in the Savoy Hotel in London and call broadcasters from all over Europe to come in front of their poster and the bunch of flowers behind.
And that's grand, but it's terribly boring, let's face it.
But it's not what we want.
It's not what we want. So I don't think it's what the audience wants, Pat. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, when you get a show that has survived to tell the tale like The Late Late, the figures show us now that it's just shop local, buy Irish. That's what people want. They want Irish guests. They want to see what Irish people have to say, whether that's a
and if it is Johnny Foreigner coming in, they want the Irish spin on Johnny Foreigner.
Always. And like last week's, for example, last week's show would have been Irish from beginning to end, and it did really well at the box. It did 45% share, which in the modern era is massive. And you talk to British executives from TV across the way, they bite your arm off for 20%, 15%. So we're doing all right. It's going well.
Yeah, and it's one of those things when you look at television now and you can see everything on catch-up TV or
it's,
you're streaming
changed,
or whatever you're doing. And the only things that are unique are live events like The Late Late Show or sport or unfolding breaking news, like we have two screens
Brexit
in the corner here looking
corner,
at Brexit and everyone putting their tuppence worth in. They're the things that keep people watching television.
You're 100% right. And the fact of the matter is, you can sit around watching TV with friends and then tweeting the bejesus out of it, whether you hate it or like it, doesn't really matter to me once you're watching it. And that's a good result because everyone's around. It's very hard then to be part of a communal viewing experience if it's the next day and you're playing catch up. That's not the same. But it is one of those marquee shows, thankfully, that is still requires and acquires a multiple massive audience because it's a kind of they're together watching it, so that's kind of nice.
Were you annoyed at James Corden taking the name because they had the late show in America forever and then James Corden the late late show?
I was curious about that. How long has that been going as the late late show with James Corden? Is it called the late late show with James Corden?
It's the late late show with James Corden. Yeah.
That's fine. Sure, there'll probably be another one coming along after him. So
I'm not sure. Maybe the Americans had a late late show long before we had a late late show. Who knows?
Sure, look, I'm too busy with my own thing to be worrying.
Anyway, Ryan, good luck
thanks
with the toy show.
Thanks for having
me
in today.
Good luck with the rehearsals. Don't break a leg.
Do you know what? I just might. The first toy show on crutches. But thanks for your time today. Nice to see you.
Ryan, thanks very much for dropping in.